This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning, I'm John Hoffman. Community Update today is devoted to recapping the Indiana primaries of this past Tuesday, and we'll talk about the major races and more with Sean Savage, St. Mary's College political scientist. Sean, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Let's start with the U.S. Senate race, where on the Republican side, Mike Braun defeated a couple of sitting congressmen, spending a good bit of his own money. What's your analysis of what made that race so successful for Braun against two pretty powerful guys?
Well, I think a lot of it was just due to the fact that he spent so much of his money on TV as promoting his name recognition and emphasizing that he was an outsider. He was a businessman who, supposedly would bring an outsider's perspective to Washington. And meanwhile, he criticized Rokita and Messer as just being two career politicians. And, of course, Rokita and Messer, they had a lot of TV ads, although they had some that criticized Braun. Much of them sort of criticized each other. And even before the Republican campaigns in the Senate primary intensified, we already had various news media articles of Messer and Rokita criticizing each other. So I think there are a lot of voters who were turned off by Messer and Rokita on that for that. And so
yeah,
I think
this
that
is apparently
helping Braun.
Right. This is apparently something that goes back a number of years. A rivalry between the two. They haven't liked each other for quite a long time. Is it fair to say that they basically shot each other out of the race?
I think that's true to a great extent. And by criticizing each other so much and bashing each other so much, I think that had the effect of strengthening the belief among at least certain voters that these are career politicians, and again, it's time to drain the swamp. And Washington is just sort of out of touch with the concerns of average Americans, and so forth.
Now, all three of the candidates in the race spent a good bit of time trying to tie themselves as closely as possible to President Trump, which, given his performance in Indiana in the 2016 election, I guess makes some sense. Did that at some point turn some people off that they were all saying basically the same things about being big Trump supporters and, it's tough to tell them apart in that sense?
I think that might turn some voters, in terms of, each one of the three candidates saying, who is the most pro-Trump candidate out of all of them. It seems to me that with Mike Braun, he identified with Trump more so in terms of being a fellow businessman who was not a career politician, who would bring in an outsider's perspective. Braun didn't really emphasize so much similarities in policy issues, whereas Rokita and Messer tried to emphasize their policy similarities to Trump, and also claiming each was somehow a stronger Trump supporter. But then, of course, Messer had to remind people that Rokita had supported Ted Cruz in the primary.
Yeah. So again, slinging mud at each other, probably to the detriment of both. Mike Braun moves on now to face incumbent Senator Joe Donnelly, who has been written off several times in the past in tough campaigns and has come through. How do you think this race shapes up between Braun and Donnelly?
I think it'll be a tough race for Braun. I would still give Donnelly at least a slight edge in that, of course, he ran unopposed in the primary. I think he would have been a weaker candidate if, in the Democratic primary, let's say he had a very liberal Bernie Sanders type of candidate, running against him for the Democratic nomination and getting maybe, 20 or 25% of the votes. That would have been, done some serious damage to Donnelly. But he's raised a lot of money. He's had a lot in the bank. And interestingly enough, he'll even say that 62% of the time so far he's voted with Trump in terms of various legislation and Trump's nominees. And that seems to be consistent with Donnelly's whole theme, in which he argues that he does what he thinks is best for the people of Indiana. Sometimes he'll support Trump, sometimes he'll oppose Trump. He's going to focus on health care and jobs, and again, doing what he thinks is best for Hoosiers.
And as the campaign moves forward, what do you think Mike Braun has to do to make a dent in Donnelly? I mean, how would you size up the kind of campaign he has to run to be successful?
Well, I think in order to be successful, of course, and I think this part, by the way, will be difficult, is to unite the Republican Party behind it. Because obviously this is a very bruising, divisive primary for the Republicans. So try to unite the Republican base and then try to attract most independent voters by selectively choosing those policy issues in which he thinks not only most Republican voters, but most Republican-leaning independent voters in Indiana would agree with him. For example, on taxes, on reducing regulations on business, on coming up with some alternative to improving the health care situation. Try to do all of that, and then perhaps maybe not so much Donald Trump, but if he can get several visits from Mike Pence, that might be enough to help him wage a strong race against Donnelly.
Donnelly, for his part, has survived tough campaigns before, notably the election in which he won his Senate seat against Richard Murdoch, the former state treasurer. Thanks, many believe, in part to Murdoch expressing perhaps a little too controversial an opinion on the abortion issue late in the campaign. Is that a fair assessment of what happened in Donnelly's initial Senate campaign?
Well, I think that it's certainly true that the controversial remark that Murdoch made about abortion did have the effect of helping Donnelly win, but I don't think that was the only reason Donnelly won. If we look at the results of 2012, even earlier in the campaign, it showed a fairly close race, closer than expected in a mostly Republican state, between Donnelly and Murdoch. And later analysis showed that when Murdoch defeated Lugar in the primary, it seemed as if what many of the voters were saying was not so much that, well, we don't think that Lugar is conservative enough, so therefore we're going to nominate Murdoch. Many of them simply thought that Lugar was too old and that it was time for him to gracefully and voluntarily retire from the Senate. And if he wasn't going to do that, then they were going to do it for him.
Donnelly did get through that campaign. He has, he proved to be a tough opponent also in his congressional campaigns in the 2nd District before he campaigned for the Senate. He seems to have the formula for a Democrat succeeding in a statewide race in Indiana pretty well figured out. Do you think so?
I think he has figured that out, but once again, no matter how smooth his campaign operation is, and no matter how careful he is about his rhetoric and his policy decisions in the Senate, we still have this whole factor of outside events that are beyond his control or anybody else's control or predictions that can obviously then influence the Senate race. We really don't know by the time the fall comes around what Donald Trump's job approval rating will be, both nationally and here in Indiana. We don't know if the economy is going to be doing so well that most people in Indiana maybe credit the president and the Republicans for the good economy. So, again, I think Donnelly knows what to do, but then there are these outside events which can either have the effect of helping or hurting him. Outside events, again, like the controversial remark that Murdoch made during the debate. Yeah. Likewise, in 2010, when Donnelly was just barely reelected to his House seat, a lot of that had to do with the Libertarian candidate mm-hmm. doing unusually well in this district.
Yeah, yeah. Donnelly, of course, has a talent for waging a tough campaign and a very disciplined campaign. Do you have a sense of Braun as being also a very disciplined candidate working on the Republican side of this race?
Well, I think so far we really don't know enough about Braun to see, I think, in the long run, what kind of a candidate he will be, especially what kind of a general election candidate will be. Most of his ads were simply about, again, promoting his name recognition and identity with the public. It wasn't so much about what kind of a candidate he would be in running against Donnelly. So at this point, I really don't have any kind of a clear idea of whether he's going to be a disciplined candidate, because he's certainly not as experienced a candidate as Donnelly.
Yeah.
So we don't know if he's going to be coming out with gaffes or what.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the second district House race, where we had, well, technically we had primaries on both sides. The Republican wasn't particularly competitive, although Mark Summey did, in fact, draw some 20% of the vote without really campaigning at all against incumbent Jackie Walorski. Is that anything that should give Walorski pause?
Well, I think she might want to be somewhat concerned about that, because, to run against a very obscure candidate who, as far as I know, didn't even, have a website. It could be mistaken on this, but as far as I know, he didn't have that.
We couldn't find one here.
Yeah, that may want to cause some concern for her, because, years ago, Chris Ciccola, the then incumbent Republican congressman from this district, he had some supposedly rather obscure candidates running against him in the Republican primaries, like so-called Farmer Haas and later Tony Zirkle, who, did again relatively well. And that seemed to be somewhat of a warning sign that his congressional seat might be in danger. So I think her campaign may want to find out exactly what happened and why, and where this candidate did better than expected in the district, and to try to do what's necessary to kind of unite and mobilize the Republican base, especially since here in St. Joseph County, of course, a lot more people voted in the Democratic primaries and the Republican primaries.
Yeah. On the Democratic side, Mel Hall came out of a field of six candidates, three of whom were actively campaigning and working hard at it. What's your take on Mel Hall's chances of upsetting Walorski in the fall?
I think he'll have a better chance of upsetting her and defeating her in the fall if he can attract money and some consulting and campaign talent from the National Democratic Party. I mean, this is what happened to Joe Donnelly in 2006. At that time, Rahm Emanuel was in charge of the so-called Red to Blue Democratic congressional campaign. This district was targeted by Emanuel as a district where the incumbent Chris Ciccola was in danger. So, again, the National Democrats focused a lot of money, a lot of attention, a lot of campaign talent in this district. We have to sort of wait and see if the Democrats nationally make that decision about Mel Hall's race.
And as the campaign goes forward, we'll learn more about Mel Hall. He has to campaign not just in St. Joseph County, but the rest of the district, and it's a much tougher sled for him in the other parts of the district than it is here, right?
Yeah, exactly. Usually for a Democrat to win in this district, especially the way this district was redrawn by the Republicans after the 2010 census, so that was basically gerrymandered in such a way that it's a mostly Republican voting district, is that the Democratic candidate needs to do extremely well in St. Joseph County, get a high voter turnout, get more than, let's say, 60% of the votes, likewise do well in the city of Elkhart, and to a lesser extent in Elkhart County in general. So especially with the way the district is drawn differently now compared to what was in 2006 when Donnelly beat Ciccola, this will be some tough sledding for him. But again, if there's a national trend that's very powerful in favor of Democrats, the so-called blue wave, this could be one of those districts that could flip, from Republican to Democrat. Don't even consider the fact that the South Bend media market is one of the most affordable TV markets in the country. So if one or both of the national parties focused a lot of money on TV ads in this district, it can buy, again, lots and lots of TV ads.
Lots of exposure, absolutely.
Yes.
We'll continue to follow all of this as the campaign continues through the summer and into the fall, and Sean Savage will be back with us periodically to talk about this as it all develops. Sean Savage, St. Mary's College political scientist, joining us on Community Update. Sean, thanks so much. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.